Gracious Holy One, we thank you that indeed, if we reach across the aisle and assist others, we can change lives and change the stories. Speak to our hearts by your holy word. In Christ's name we give you thanks. Amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning. It is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he is writing the early day church. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, considering him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, Our Witness, Our Witness. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me, Our Witness. It is a continuation from our sermon series that focus on the membership vows when we become a member of the United Methodist Church, that we will be loyal by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Our witness. Today is a special Sunday in the lives of churches across this great nation and our church as well. All Saints Day observance. It is a time to remember those who have outrun us to our Father's house. In fact, I want to share with you as we celebrated on yesterday, Trunk or Treat, I call it old school Trick or Treat, a Halloween. It was a toss-up in one Catholic church as it relates to should we celebrate Halloween or should we not, because of all the ghosts and goblins and all of that. And then All Saints Day is always the next day after that following day leading up to that Sunday. And so as the debate was going on, it was the priest who came up with the idea that we should do something for the children. The church should offer an opportunity for children to have fun and to have candy and just to come on campus, similar to what we did yesterday. And so the priest decided that he would encourage children, if you're going to participate, you have to dress up as a saint. You have to have that as your costume. Oh, they were cool with that. They had no problems with that at all. And on that October 31st evening, they came to church from all different places across the track. They were dressed up as saints and in their costumes. The priest noticed a little boy. He was dressed up as St. Andrews, St. Anthony. And then the next little boy was dressed up as St. Peter. The next little boy as St. Joseph. And a little girl was dressed as St. Clara. But then he noticed another little boy in an unusual costume. He had on a costume in the shape of a doll. And he went up to that little boy and he said, "Son, didn't you get the message? You're supposed to dress up as a saint." That little boy responded, "Father, I am a saint. I'm Saint Bernard." Well, All Saints Day have different perspectives. We've been celebrating All Saints Day for 835 years. A time to rejoice with those who are now in the presence of our God. It is not in a way of looking at them as those who have reached the pedestal or the apex, if you will, of perfection, but to acknowledge ordinary people who have made a commitment and who have given their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ, the known and the unknown, who have outrun us to our Father's house, to remember that we too must pass that way. It is a great reminder as you open up this passage of Scripture from the pen of the Apostle Paul, how Paul reminds us of this great cloud of witnesses. Those who have endured pain and suffering and even joys and sorrows, but yet they are now in the presence of a God who loves them. In fact, I want to remind you that it is important for us to acknowledge All Saints Day because the Apostle Paul shares with us in the Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And just right there in the first verse, and if you have your Bibles or look in the sermon notes, you'll see Paul said, we have such a great cloud of witnesses. As though they're in the balcony of heaven and they're cheering us on and looking over our shoulders and encouraging us to continue to endure, to continue to make it. I want to share with you and help you fill in the blanks of that first bullet point. It's a bullet point that comes from the economic community. Perhaps you're very familiar, and if you've ever studied economics with the name John Myers Keynes, or Keynes in the British language. He was an economist, well known, well famous, and his influence continues to make a difference and an impact upon the economy today. But he's merely known not because of what he said about the economy, but what he had to say as it relates to death. He said it this way. In the long run, he said, we are all dead. In the long run, we are all dead. He was right. But we won't stay dead. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, there's life after death. There is eternal life. The Apostle Paul says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Apostle Paul in the King James translation, it says, hinders. Anything that is hindering us, holding us back, and we know what it is in our own lives, or even sin. Paul was encouraging those who moved over from Judaism to Christianity, don't look at your past sins. Your sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ, but look forward. And he makes this comparison by looking at our lives and seeing as though we're participants in a marathon. Not a 100-yard dash, but in a marathon. And it's going to take endurance. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take overcoming obstacles in our ways. It's going to take overcoming discouragement and pain and sorrow and grief. And Paul looks at it as though we're running a marathon. How many of you, by a show of hands, have ever participated in a marathon? All right, we have some. Very good. You have to be in shape. You have to be in physical shape, no question about it. I can't participate in a marathon today. But I can participate, and you can participate in the spiritual marathon that the Apostle Paul is prescribing that is set before us all. It is that spiritual marathon that Paul is challenging us to take hold in it and continue to run the race. I want to share a name with you. Her name is Harriet Thompson. Harriet Thompson. Harriet Thompson was a classic pianist, just like Paige right there on my left. And she enjoyed playing and sharing her musical talents and gifts. played even at churches and around the world. But she was diagnosed with cancer. But she was determined not to allow cancer to take her life without putting up a fight and also making a contribution in the lives of others, reaching out to change someone else's story. So she decided at age 76, never too late, at age 76 to participate in her first marathon. 76. And she participated and she was able to raise money for cancer awareness. Well, indeed, she continued to run in different marathons. And she also had already placed her name as an entry for the 2015 Rock and Roll Marathon in San Diego, California. She was living in North Carolina at the time. And it was in 2014 that she knew she had to start getting ready to train for the marathon in June in 2015. No one starts a race and start training for a race in June. But somehow through circumstances, her husband, who also was experiencing cancer, he became sick. And so she stayed with him and she took care of him and she let go of her training. Still focusing, still determined to participate and raise money for cancer awareness. Her husband died in January of this year, and then she started faithfully training. She trained and she trained and she trained. And then June occurred, and she participated in that race. And at this time, she's not 76 anymore, she's 92. And she's known today as the oldest woman to cross the finish line in a marathon in 7 hours, 24 minutes, and 36 seconds. She was able not to just start the race, but to finish the race. Here's a picture of her right here. Isn't that good? She was determined to finish, and she raised over $8,000 for cancer awareness. And that's her son right there behind her. He was so proud, and you see others cheering her on. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture. A great cloud of witnesses who continue to encourage us as we participate in the race of life. They have outrun us. They have concluded their race, but yet they're willing to encourage us to keep running, keep enduring, keep participating. Now look at your sermon notes as I get ready to haste along. And there are three truths that I want to share that the witnesses can encourage us about. They give us this sense of encouragement. The first point is this point. The fulfillment of remembering. Of remembering. Look to your neighbor and say, remember. Yeah. For remembering. If you feel like life has you trapped in a corner, in a ring, and in a corner of a ring and no one else is around, just remember. Remember God's word. Remember to read God's word, to study God's word, to pray God's word. In fact, if you have your Bibles, look at Romans, the 8th chapter and the 31st verse. Romans 8, 31 says, "What then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us?" If God is for us, if God is there in our corner, don't worry about those who are on the outward surface. God is there and no one can be against us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. The Apostle Paul was reminding his readers to remember that God is on your side. In the midst of despair, in the midst of discouragement, God has not abandoned. The next point, the fulfillment of reward. the fulfillment of reward. Paul acknowledged those who have outrun us to our Father's house. They're getting ready to receive their reward. How many of you have ever, by show of hands, doesn't matter what age, time and period in your life, that you've received a reward of any nature? Just by a show of hands. Yeah. I never will forget and shared it at the previous services. My greatest reward to date is what I received when I was in the sixth grade in Miss Miller's class, Osceola Elementary School in Almond Beach. Miss Miller was a sixth grade teacher, and the very first day, she challenged us if we would conduct ourselves accordingly at the end of the year, she was going to give each and every student who measured up a ribbon. Now, Ms. Miller could control her class because she had in her desk a little wooden stick. Hello. They don't have those anymore, but I'm not going to go there. And at the end of the year, I was one of seven sixth graders to receive that ribbon. I have that ribbon today, and even though I received the plaques of the degrees, nothing measure up for me than receiving that ribbon from Miss Miller. And when I see her now, I'm still proud to say I have my ribbon. It is something about receiving a reward, an accomplishment that you hold dear to your own life. You look closely at this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul plainly shares with us that our reward is in heaven. That's my next one that I'm going for. To receive my reward in heaven. And the great thing about all those saints who have gone on before, even though we celebrate All Saints Day, and this is the 835th year, they can't crown Jesus Lord of Lords and King of Kings until we get there. That's when they can crown him, and we shall all receive our reward. The Apostle Paul was reminding us, and if you have your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 58th verse. Paul was reminding us that our labor, our service, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness is not in vain. They're being recorded in the book of life. Praise be to God. And lastly, the fulfillment of resting, We can't rest now. We have to do just like Harriet. Harriet did not allow her age or any limitations to stop her from living life and going forward in life. She was determined to carry on, to participate with endurance and perseverance. And we too must continue. How do I know? Look at Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 9th verse. Galatians reminds us over and over again, don't be weary in well-doing. For you shall reap if you don't faint or if you don't lose heart. We are called to be persistent. Why? Because Jesus Christ was persistent. When Jesus was faced with the cross, what is the joy in going to a cross? Jesus was rejected, put to shame, criticized. He was beaten, but yet Jesus Christ looked at the whole picture. He goes to the cross to save you and me. Let me close by sharing this story. It's about a little girl and her mother. The little girl was embarrassed of her mother's facial features. She wouldn't invite her mother anywhere. She wouldn't bring around her friends. She was embarrassed. And so one day, her mother asked a question that's in your sermon notes. Is this question: why don't you ever invite me to anything? Why don't you invite me to be a part of your friend group and to meet your friends? And she said, Mother, because I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed of how you look. And I can't introduce you to my friends because I'm embarrassed. Her mother said, let me tell you how I have the scars in my face. And she shared with her daughter, I have these scars because one day I was going out of the house and I looked back and the house caught on fire. And you were the only one in the house and you were in your baby's crib. And I ran back to the house, went in the room, and I scooped you up in my arms and held you tightly. And as I was going out of the house, a beam came down and hit me in my face. And I have those scars in my face because I saved your life. That's why I have those scars. Well, when you think of Jesus, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he had scars in his hands. He had scars in his feet. He had scars in his side. But he had those scars because he was going to Calvary's cross to save our lives, to save us from hell, death, and the grave. And it's because of Jesus we can worship God. We can have the saints overlooking our shoulders and cheering us on. Because Jesus endured the cross. He endured the shame. And they crucified him and buried him in a barred grave. But thanks be to God, he got up the third day morning with all power in his hands. Thank God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad it was at the cross that I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy. Are you happy? All the day. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.